Let's check out what's been happening in the agricultural energy markets. Dan O'Brien of K-State Extension is on the phone line from Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Sure, thanks.
Hey, you sent me some interesting things. You want to go through some grain stocks, which we just heard from Darrell Good to some extent, for both corn and sorghum. Why don't you tell me why sorghum is important to the state of Kansas first?
Well, there's a good possibility that with the approval of the EPA's designation of grain sorghum as an advanced biofuel, that we could see over time a marked increase in grain sorghum acreage and production. Again, if kind of our general train of thought out here in the Western Plains is that if grain sorghum can get just 1 billion gallons out of that, say, eventually about 4 billion gallon advanced biofuel slice of the renewable fuel standard, then, gosh, we 1 billion gallons at about 2.8 gallons per bushel is about 350 million bushels, and we only grew in the U.S. about 250 last year. So it could be could make for a large change if there's a lot of adaptation amongst plants and such.
So now, do you think that this would be a switch in acres from corn to sorghum, from wheat to sorghum, from both to sorghum? Maybe not at all. Where would it be grown?
Well, I think the first thing to keep in mind is if we do go that way, farmers will vote with their planters according to the prices that they get. And if they get a good enough profitability signal from grain sorghum, it could pull from everywhere. On the dry land side, of course, it'd compete directly with corn and pull maybe some wheat acres as people would be more intense. Really, the larger ring to grab for grain sorghum would be if it could compete on irrigated acres. And, the market's kind of coming to it as we have enough wells that are declining in irrigation capacity out here in the Western Plains. Lower yield scenario, corn and grain sorghum are competitive, where we still have lots of irrigation water. Corn, with its ability to respond to available moisture, quote, out horses grain sorghum, at least in our part of the country. But for the increasing number of low capacity wells, 100 to 300 gallons per minute, those type of wells could find grain sorghum to be a very good option for them.
And it's a good dry land crop and works well under drier conditions. We grow some, but not very much, and mostly in around the St. Louis area, I think.
Yes, the stats show that Illinois has a fair amount of grain sorghum there. But again, even with that, where if your country is like our country, quote, where we can grow corn with adequate moisture.
Well, we grow corn.
You grow corn.
That's right.
So. But time will tell. And when you look at the longer term, I think one thing is sure noticeable on grains or on the ethanol market.
Mm-hmm.
We've had losses for literally 12 months in a row. So we're due for a turnaround of some type, and a combination of so-so ethanol prices and pretty high corn prices and or grain sorghum have been really working against us in that.
So can I ask you about those losses in the ethanol? That's on the model plant that runs out of Iowa, right? Or
yep.
Your model that comes out of Iowa State. It's a model they developed. But here on this campus, the ag economists have come to the conclusion, and I want to know whether you agree or disagree with this, that simply ethanol has become an octane enhancer, and it is simply a component of gasoline. And as long as they can make money on the gasoline using ethanol as a component to enhance octane, there will be a call for ethanol to run through those systems. And the more integrated the oil companies are into the ethanol plants, the more likely that plant's going to run.
Yes, you have a chicken and egg thing going on in that. Without question, we have ethanol as the largest quantity of available economic oxygenate fuels. And Scott Irwin and Darrell Good and those fellows have done great research on that, and some others as well. But would we have that much of a large supply of available oxygenate if it wasn't for the underlying governmental programs that make that quantity available?
Mm-hmm.
And
I think they would agree on that question as well. We're out of time, Dan. Thank you so much for taking the time with us this afternoon.
Sure, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension. He's in Kansas. Back in a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the weather forecast.